that's right. It's Meet Me at the Diner this afternoon, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, and we are ready to talk about the United Way, the Pacesetter program, the kickoff for it, raising money. And of course, Jonathan Graves is here with us this afternoon. I'll come back and do his introduction in a second. But also Denise Manley is here. She's president and CEO of United Way of Greenwood and Abbeville. How you doing today, Denise?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
And how's everything over there at United Way?
Very busy. It's campaign season.
Campaign season. Takes a lot of dollars to help all these agencies, doesn't it?
It does, a lot. That's what we do every year. We raise a lot of money and give a lot of money away.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. We're going to talk a little bit about how agencies get their money and this type of thing. But now we have the head of the Pacesetter Group here that is going to be raising money for the United Way. He also was recognized as a Connect Young People Under 40 star. He is also the stats guy right here at Emerald High School Football. And when he's not doing all these other things, he does work in communications at Greenwood School District. So how are you doing today, Jonathan Graves?
I'm doing great. Hands in preseason form. I'm ready to kick off this Pacesetter campaign, which we've already done, and obviously ready to get started on some Emerald High School football later on this Friday night. So looking forward to it.
How do you think Emerald's going to do this year?
I don't want to get into too much detail because I know y'all got Coach Mack and Rob Gilchrist, the illustrious Rob Gilchrist, on Monday. But Emerald's going to be good this year. They've got a lot of returning stars coming back, and I think that the state has done them a disservice by ranking them 31st in the state, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they're a lot better than that and should be another exciting season.
Well, maybe they can sneak ahead then because they were lower graded than what they should be. Maybe that'll happen.
Yeah, I think they've, like I said, the prognosticators have doubted them a little bit, and I think they're going to show these people, especially with some of their four-year seniors coming back, some of these star players coming back for their last season. I think Emerald's going to be a force to be reckoned with in that new region that they're moving to.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. You heard it right here on WCRS. But let's talk a little bit about the Pacesetter program. Denise, what is the Pacesetter program?
The Pacesetters are companies and organizations and agencies who step up to say, we will help set the pace for the overall campaign. So they conduct their campaigns earlier than the community campaign does, which is later in the fall. And it just seems to grow year after year. And our Pacesetters have become over half of our total goal that we raise in the Pace.
Last year you were saying they were, what, over 65%?
They were. They raised over 65% of our $1.2 million that we raised. So there's
that's a lot of dollars out of a relatively small community.
It is a lot of dollars. You know, I've always said that Greenwood and Abbeville counties are very generous, and they help people right here who need the help. So year after year we are pleasantly amazed at the generosity of the communities.
And of course, by doing that, that means that you're able to help that many more agencies.
We are. We have our partner agencies that participate in our investment process and apply for funding for programs within their agencies. We also honor designations for agencies that are not partner agencies with us that don't go through the investment process, but we are United Way that honors all designations for agencies, whatever the donor desires.
Now, one of the things I think people are always interested, how does an agency get to get funds from United Way? It's not just they put in for it, they ask for it, and okay, they get it.
It is a very strict process, and we are very community impact driven, which means we have three focus areas of the funding that we provide to the community. So first of all, an agency must be doing work within those three areas of education, income, and health. And then they will submit a letter of intent with a lot of information about their agency and their mission and their programs. It goes to a committee of the board, and then the board will vote to approve them to take the next step, which is produce about 20 to 25 documents. We make sure
we
do
paper driven.
We make sure that our agents, the funding that we provide to agencies, they're viable 501c3s with some governing policies and procedures that need to be in place to make sure that the money's helping where it's supposed to.
not only that, I know you go out and you do visits to the organization. You really go in and check it all out. It's not just a turn in some paper and get approved.
No, the agency's applying for funding for our program. It's very important that we note we do not provide funding to agencies. We provide funding to programs. And we have about 45 volunteers that go out in the spring. It's about a 2 to 3 month volunteer service time. Of Jonathan is one of those investment volunteers.
Yes.
And they do site visits to the programs and the agencies, and then they actually review the investment application and score it and evaluate it. And it's very detailed, but it's we're being good stewards of our donors' dollars.
Absolutely. Well, you know, does this mean that the dollars have been going up even in this down economy?
We definitely went down back in 2008 and 2009, and we lost some funding due to various things. Economy definitely played a huge part, but some industries may have closed or they were bought out by other individuals or companies, investment firms. So we've had to shift. We've been on a slight upturn the last few years, very slowly,
right.
But we've been on a slight upturn, so it's been good.
Well, now, Jonathan, what is the pressure that is being put on you? How many dollars do you want to raise for United Way this year?
Well, our goal this year is $1.25 million, which that was set by our campaign co-chair.
When you weren't there.
No, I was. I'm going to say that I might have been at the meeting. Maybe I just missed that part of it. But David Bell, County Bank, and then Phil Vickery, Capsugel plant manager, were actually those two are the community campaign co-chairs for this year. They came up with that goal, and I guess the pressure on me is really, you know, with Denise, like she was saying, the pace setters raised 65% of the overall goal this year, of last year, and that's what we're shooting for this year, and we're hoping to exceed that a little bit with the, you know, thing we have and with the excitement and enthusiasm that the companies are already showing for it. So I guess that's the real pressure on me, is to be, you know, the best cheerleader that I can be for the companies, and just to get out there and, you know, show them that I'm enthusiastic about it and that I'm really willing to help them in any way I can to help them raise those dollars.
Now, what is the theme for this year?
It's Live United, Win United, of course. I'm a sports fanatic.
And really?
I'm a football fan. So when Denise came to me with the idea of actually being the Pace Setter campaign chair.
And let me say that was not an easy sale. and I think I still owe him a lunch.
Yes.
He keeps reminding me that I still owe him a meal.
Typically, I hear from other people that have, you know, Denise is recruited, and they say they typically go to lunch whenever she's about to ask them to either do something major. And I had the feeling that something was coming down the pipe, because we had a board meeting, I think it was like the next week, and Denise called me the week before, and she's like, I need to meet with you. And I was like, okay, well, we can talk over the phone. She's like, no, I need to come to your office. And Denise Manley has never come to my office except for like a campaign kickoff or something like that. But she came to my office and threw the idea out there to me. And we just, you know, we're sat down and started, you know, going back and forth with some feedback. And I threw out the idea that it'd be kind of neat if we had a football theme, if we had the kickoff meeting at the Greenwood High School press box. And one thing led to another, and lo and behold, you know, July 28th, that's where we kicked off from. And, you know, so many other things came from that, you know, one meeting, and so many other ideas were thrown out there. But, you know, I'm just glad that we did pick the football theme. I think that's something that everybody in the community can connect with, because of the high school football season coming up. And then, of course, college with Carolina and Clemson. And then for me, the NFL, the Carolina Panthers. I think it's that time of year where football is in the air and everybody can get excited about that. Everybody can get behind that. So hopefully that enthusiasm that we had at that kickoff meeting will carry on with some of the campaign and partner agency campaign kickoffs we have later on this week.
Yes, for those of you who look at the Index Journal, I believe it was Tuesday, July 29th, there is a picture of you with a bandana on.
I don't think that's me. I mean, that's a guy with a bandana.
He's and got sunglasses.
He's got a Live United jersey on. I mean, I've heard of videos floating around out there. It could be me. It might not be. You never know. But that is Lindsay Tyner. I want to give a shout out to her with the United Way staff. She's actually the one that came up with the idea for the skit. It's actually from a Saturday Night Live skit with Will Ferrell and another lady in there. And that's where the idea for the skit came up. It's actually called The Perfect Cheer. And that was done about midway through the meeting. And it was really a surprise to everybody there. It took a lot of practice.
And a lot of cell phones came out and started videotaping them.
Yes, and it's all over Facebook, all over Twitter, from what I hear. I haven't actually watched it yet, but Lindsay Tyner, she stole the show, and I don't know, you know, the stiff who was dancing with her, he did okay, but but like I said, the it was great. I mean, the enthusiasm that was shown by the pace setters and, you know, just, you know, getting them enthusiastic about the campaign, that was our overall mission, and I think we definitely accomplished it at that meeting.
Okay, you hit it out of the park?
Hit it out of the park.
Kicked it out of the park.
There you
okay.
go.
Yeah. All right. Well,
okay, she was trying to throw a sports analogy on me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, I tell you what, I'm here with Jonathan Graves, a.k.a. stick dancer here. I don't know who this guy is right here.
Rob Gilchrist said it was the guy from the Two Live Crews.
Okay.
So I'm going to give him a shout out as well.
All right. Well, Rob will be joining you with Emerald Football. And I tell you what, you guys have been doing that, what, for 5 years now? Something like that?
Seems like it's been four or five years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great time. I mean, Rob Gilchrist, you know, one of the best play-by-play guys, I guess, a guy I could work with. And it's fun to get up there on Friday nights after a hard work week. You know, put in a lot of work, and it's just good to get out there and just kind of relieve some stress. I mean, it's just a place where you can just kind of be at home in the booth and just talk sports, talk football for a couple of hours. And it's always great to highlight some of the individual kids that are doing great things, not only on the football field, but also in the classroom. So I really enjoy doing that every Friday night.
Well, we enjoy having you do it, too. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds, too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery. We are with Denise Manley and Jonathan Graves. You know, Denise, how long have you now been with United Way?
6 years. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
6 years.
And I guess you've seen a lot of changes.
I have seen a lot of changes. I would say that probably the biggest change is the difference in workplace campaigns. I know that when United Way first started, which was many years ago, 98% of the funding that we raised came from workplace campaigns. That is probably now 80 to 85%. And so we're having to be creative, just like other places, and look
sure.
for more funding. So we actually, you know, we apply for grants and foundation gifts, and because we're having to change. So you have to change. You have to be more creative. And I do want to say that we have a new staff person, our director of resource development, starting on Monday. So she will be over the campaign and our fundraising efforts. And that was Kendall Gunter. She is coming to us from the Abbeville Chamber of Commerce.
Whoa.
And she is going to fill some big shoes of Betty Cobb, who retired at the end of June after 25 years.
Wow.
So she's our new fundraising staff person. So she's going to have...
So everybody's going to get to know her. Yes. So what type of... Now, you have several different agencies, groups that are in the United Way building right there on Phoenix. And, of course, we know the soup kitchen and the food bank is there. And the free clinic is there, but you have some other, and you still have space, but you have some other agencies within that.
Yeah, we do. For those of you know, United Way is housed inside the United Center for Community Care. So United Way owns the building, and the United Center organization manages and operates the building. So we're a tenant in our own building,
okay.
But we're the lead tenant, I guess you could say. But we are Our other large tenants are the Food Bank of Greenwood County and the Greenwood County Soup Kitchen and the Community Initiatives Free Clinic. Most of the traffic coming into the building is visiting those agencies, but also located is the Greenwood County Community Foundation, which is new to the area, about 3 years now, and they're upstairs. Meg's house actually has a satellite office in our building where they do some counseling and some outreach separate from their shelter services. We also have... I just drew a blank. Yes, we have the South Regional Hospital Healthcare has a Lakeland's Cares Access Health program that is trying to meet the needs of the underinsured and uninsured folks. So they're upstairs as well.
Oh, but you still have more room.
We have lots of room.
Now, what type of tenants, what type of things would you like to have in your building?
Well, human service agencies that meet the mission of serving the hungry, the homeless, and the disenfranchised. So that's the mission of the United Center, and definitely any organization that serves those in need, we can find them. They can find a home at the United Center. So we would love to show off our building and show them some space, and hopefully.
Well, it certainly has been a great space.
It is. You know, it's very unusual for United Way to be in a community center such as the United Center. Most United Ways are just an administrative office, but we are very blessed to have a building where we house agencies under the same roof as us so that we can serve folks coming in and out.
Really need to send a big kudos out to Dr. Parham.
Dr. Jack Parham, it was his vision. It's actually been a vision of several community leaders for over 20 years, and he is the man that helped it come to fruition about 6 years ago. So I started with United Way in May of 2008, and we moved in June of 2008. So yeah. It's been there 6 years, but Dr. Parham is definitely the visionary behind the United Center.
And before it was that, it was the Burton Center, the Burton.
Actually, they were still called the Emerald Center.
Emerald Center, there you go.
So, right. And it had been vacant for about a year, maybe almost a year and a half. And Dr. Parham was riding by one day, and he said, "That will be our next community center to help those in need."
Wow.
And terrific. Here we are.
Here we are. Terrific. Okay. Well, you have a lot of businesses that are part of the Pacesetter. You want to maybe tell us who some of them are so we can give them a big shout out here today?
Yes. We have 17 businesses, and 17 of our partner agencies are actually participating during the Pacesetter division. We always like to give a shout out to our agencies who have stepped up to help us set the pace. Ascend Performance Materials, formerly Solutia, formerly Monsanto.
it's got a long history in this community.
A long history in the community.
Yeah.
Bank of America, Belk, CPW, Capsigel, County Bank, Eaton Cooper. Used to be Cooper Power Industries. Now they were bought out by Eaton. So we have to say Eaton Cooper, Eaton Hydraulics, and Eaton Electrical.
Well, there you go. That's a large employer, though, in this area.
Very large. Very large.
When you put them all together.
And
right.
they have actually, I don't think people realize that Mr. Joe Eaton actually founded the very first United Way.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
There you
so
go.
So that's why they have such a long history. But then the companies continue as Elliot Davis, which I might have a little inside track on that.
You right.
My husband is the operating shareholder over there. Greenwood Genetic Center, Greenwood Metro, Greenwood Municipal Federal Credit Union, Park Sterling Bank, Red Seal Measurements, which used to be Itron, which used to be
Neptune.
Something like that, yeah.
Something, yeah.
SPF, North America, and Self Family Foundation. Those are our participating companies and businesses.
Well, you really need to give a big shout out because they do try to get all the employees involved, and that's where the dollars come from. So it is a big deal to be one of those Pacesetter companies.
It is a big deal, and whether you have Self Family Foundation who has 3 or you have Eaton Electrical who has 800, every Pacesetter company is helping us set the pace and helping Jonathan reach his goal. Because if he doesn't reach the goal of 65%, he said he would just write the check for the remainder.
Did you say that, Jonathan? I am
that
impressed.
Was decided at that meeting that he can't
the
remember
guy in the
being
bandana
at.
With the black United Way jersey might have said that, but no, Jonathan Graves didn't say that.
Well, Jonathan, I know that you're working with this Pacesetter thing, but I can see a lot of pressure coming to the Greenwood School District.
Yes.
In the communications division here, I can see you communicating quite regularly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, we're going to kick off our campaign, later on. So, we're not a Pacesetter company, Greenwood
right.
School District 50, but we do kick off our campaign. So I help to lead that one as well. And that one typically kicks off in probably the middle of October, somewhere in there. And then we try to run it into probably about December is when we cut it off. But typically, we've met that market, which is $62,000, and we've met it probably for the last 3 or 4 years straight. So that's another, added layer to this because there's even more pressure on me when it comes to, getting enthusiastic about that campaign and also, reaching the goal to, hit our mark with that. So,
but Through Jonathan's leadership with the Greenwood District 50s campaign, we have been recognized nationally with United Way of America during our educational division. The funds that we raise in educational, every year when we submit our report at the end, our educational division, that we always get a call back or an email going, can you verify that amount? Because you shouldn't be raising that much in your community, your size, in the education division. So we get recognized as a best practice for that. So thanks, Jonathan.
How about that? Hey, we're here with Jonathan Graves and Denise Manley. Yes, we will hear the South Carolina radio news, and then we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
All right. Hey, we're back here. I was just getting details about this dancing that Jonathan Graves was doing there with, that's right, with he's the campaign chair. And he was with Lindsay Tyner, and I understand if you go on Facebook or any of these YouTubes, you're bound to find him everywhere. He's also on Twitter, so you can follow him on Twitter, too. What's that?
At JJizzle1985 is my Twitter handle. So, yeah, definitely everybody who's listening right now, go ahead and follow me.
Following you. Yeah, you put out some interesting comments, for the record.
I put out an interesting one right before I came on the air. So
that's right.
I want everybody to go check that out.
Absolutely. And we're doing a video, so, you know, who knows what you'll see in the video with Jonathan here, too. And, of course, we have Denise Manley. What else should we be talking about United Way? Getting everybody excited about the fact that it's time to raise money. And also, I think a good subject is how important it is for United Way to succeed.
Well, we want everybody to come out to the Jamboree, which is coming up on August 14th. That's the Greenwood High School Jamboree. We're going to be out there, going to have a huge presence. We're going to involve all the cheerleaders right there at the front gate, and they're also going to be throwing out some Live United footballs during the game. We're going to be passing out some information items of, you know, things that people need to know about the community campaign coming up. And then I'll also be, once again, on the radio doing some, you know, live air talk about the game, and then also about the Paysetter campaign and the community campaign. And, you know, we're just going to have a good time out there, so we want everybody to come out there and enjoy the fun with us is what we're hoping to do. So.
Absolutely. But, Denise, why is United Way important? Why is raising these dollars so important?
Well, first of all, our partner agencies are the backbone of what we do. So our partner agencies that we raise funds for, really most of them do not have the capability to go out and raise the all the funding that they need. We encourage them to do fundraising on their own, but they are partnering with us because they have a need in the community that needs to be addressed and that fits within our impact area. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, I say, when I ask people, what do you know about United Way? Oh, you raise a lot of money and you give it back out. But we really are so much more than that. We're about raising awareness about needs in the community or areas that that we have gaps in that we need to fill. You know, we have some community outreach initiatives of our own, such as like our VITA program, which is our Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. That has really grown. And that we have won a best practice for that as well through the IRS. And
My God.
I know.
Through the IRS? It's
an IRS-certified program, so all of our tax preparers are IRS-certified. And last year we did 2,144 tax returns.
Wow.
Bringing in over $2 million into the community. But it's, you
by
know,
getting refunds.
By getting the refunds. And I say it is not just about filling out somebody's tax return for free. It's about, you know, educating that person on that $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 refund. What can they do to better improve their life and their family's life so that they're not having to seek emergency services, you know, in the next month or the next month? So financial stability is a huge.
You mean you don't want them to go out and just blow it?
No, let's not go buy that big flat screen TV. Let's pay an extra month's rent, or let's pay some down on that credit card bill.
Sure.
So financial stability is a huge initiative of United Way, and it's a huge gap of services, agencies that are just not here in the community to fill that gap. So that, you know, that's a big part of what United Way does, amongst a lot of other things.
And such as?
Well, we have a early childhood education initiative. If you visit any of the parks in Greenwood, 96, no, we're not 96 yet. We're trying to raise money to get to that one. The three, West Cambridge Park, Magnolia Park, and Pete Smith Complex in Abbeville, there's a Born Learning Trail,
okay,
which the kids, it's interactive, and the kids and the parents can actually read the signs and do the games that are painted on the walking path. And it's really just about, you know, children are born ready to learn. We just need to equip them. And this Born Learning Trail is part of that initiative. So
that's great. Yeah, that's great. Well, you do so many different things there that I think sometimes it is hard to know all the things that that United Way does. And I think the more people know about it, the more willing they would be to donate.
Well, and, you know, Jonathan can speak to this about our backpack weekend food program. We are very fortunate that we have a lot of churches that have adopted a school or adopted a classroom, and they are providing some food for children to take home on the weekends, but there was not really a consolidated effort. So we actually are pattern ours after the United Way of Anderson's program, and we started it last year. The first semester of the year, we received funding to serve 50 children, and then we received a grant from Golden Harvest and Self Family Foundation to serve 50 more children. So we served 100 children at the second half of the school year, and we're starting with those same 100 children again. I don't know if they'll be the same children,
sure,
but it'll be 100 students that are going to be served with a weekend food program.
You know, one of the things that I think we don't think about is that there are so many hungry amongst our own people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at immigration, we look at all these type of things, but we have so many, even right here in this community. I mean, we're very lucky to have a very vibrant soup kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We're very lucky to have the food bank and this type of thing. But across this country, hunger is a huge thing. And how can children learn if they're hungry?
And childhood hunger is a huge thing. And
yeah,
that's of no fault of their own. I mean, they are at the mercy of the adults
who are caring. Yeah.
So, and studies have shown that those children who receive breakfast and lunch at school, if lunch on Friday is the last meal that they receive, and they may or may not get food over the weekend, or if they do, it might not be the most nutritious food. If they wait till Monday to get breakfast, a
right,
nutritious meal, it takes 24 to 48 hours for their brain to
kick in
and start engaging in learning. You've lost almost 2 days of the week. So Wednesday, you can really start teaching them something. Then the cycle starts all over again. So there definitely is a balance between, you know, nutrition, health, and education. And it's those children. And they fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure,
a simple weekend food pack that costs $5 and it has four meals in it.
It's huge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well,
there's a great need for it too. I know when I was working with some of the student support facilitators, which that's basically a case manager at the schools, and we initially kicked it off with the 50, you know, they were already calling back to me wondering, okay, can we do more? Because there's always, you know,
there's
always another child that is in need, or there's always another family that could definitely benefit from it. You know, brothers and sisters in the same family who might, you know, really benefit from a food pack.
How does this work, Jonathan, if you've got one child going home with a backpack of food for them? I mean,
that's a good question, because I think when we actually initially started this with the 50, the student support facilitators actually determined if it would all go to like a family. If there were some brothers and sisters in that one family, then that's, you know, who the 8 or 9 for that school would go to, if that makes sense.
So, because it wouldn't be right to send food for one child and have 2 or 3 others with no food coming
in. And, you know, I give credit to them on, you know, determining and designating, you know, which students would benefit more, and if there was a family, making sure that all the kids in that family actually benefited from the snack pack program.
Sure.
And I do want to say that we have several churches that and in fact, I just got off the phone with one the other day, and we were comparing our notes and actually, you know, complementing our programs to make sure. But one thing we want to do is make sure that we're not, you know,
duplicating.
Yeah.
But we can spread it out and even serve more children. Because I know last year when we started it, I contacted Jonathan. I said, you know, how many children could we serve? And he was like, a thousand easily. And I was like, okay, well, we're going to start with 50. Because I will say that one goal of ours, and Jonathan and I, when we were talking through this, is that we didn't want to start that child with a weekend food program and then halfway through the year go, we're going to stop. So we committed to the 50 all year long so that we could ensure that they were getting proper nutrition.
Now, what happens during vacations, Jonathan?
During vacations, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that y'all provided us with a little bit more than they actually would need. So that would actually take them through the vacation.
Through the holiday break, break or Thanksgiving break or spring break. But the effort actually ceased during summertime. So there is.
Well, I think that's why they see at the soup kitchen, they see a big uptick in children during the summer months at the soup kitchen.
Yeah. But that was a good point she brought up about the local churches, because I was actually in communication with a couple of churches when we were doing the program. And I was, you know, always trying to figure out, well, if this school called me and was saying that, you know, they were lacking a certain number, they wanted a certain more number, then I could always direct that church to that school or to those families or children. So, you know, the local churches, they have been really helpful in terms of, you know, providing even more services for this type of program.
You know, that's the one thing I think you can always say about Greenwood, and I've noticed it, and I don't know whether because we were originally a mill community where that community spirit and everything was there and the mill villages and everything. I think there was something that developed, because anytime there really is a need, if the word gets out there, it seems like people come through in our community.
Yeah, I think that's the one good thing about Greenwood. I mean, I've been here 27 years, and, you know, I've always seen the community step up whenever there is a need. And like I said, I think a lot of times, you know, people coming in from the outside may not see that. But I think, you know, once you're here long enough, you do see that whenever we're needed, Greenwood definitely steps up. And that's one thing that I'm definitely proud of to say as a citizen of this community.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Jonathan Graves, Denise Manley, United Way. Hey, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I tell you what, you know, one thing we have a tendency to forget about is there's this number. It's called not 911 or 411. It's 211. What is 211 about, Denise?
211 is an easy-to-remember number that connects people in our community with services that they need. It's a 24-hour call center that you can call if you have a need for homelessness or food or rent, utilities, medical equipment assistance, just a variety of things. And someone will answer that call and refer you to the agencies locally that can help.
Wow. So somebody's there 24 hours a day. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they can get these type of answers. Now, typically, what is the biggest thing that they see a need for?
The top three calls that they get for assistance are emergency food, rent assistance, and utility assistance. Which is the same calls that we get at our United Way office. But we work really hard to make sure that the 211 database is up to date with, you know, specific information that for the agencies locally. So when someone calls 211, they can actually get, you know, accurate, detailed information.
Now, do people give their name, or does the person on the other end of the line just tell them where to call or where to go?
Yeah, when someone calls 211, they're going to ask their zip code area so that they can make sure they pull up the
local
data, and they will just give them the agencies and the contact information.
Wow, so that's pretty cool.
Multilingual, 40 different languages.
40 different languages.
40 different languages.
I'm going to call in Swahili and see if they know it.
They will.
That would be an interesting call.
Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of our agencies have really struggled in these last few years with the economy and everything. So it is amazing how many agencies, and, you know, we got to send a big kudos out to the Symetra Tour, the dollars that came on that. I mean, that really took some pressure off. agencies like United Way. Also, the Greenwood Foundation is doing good things, too.
They are. They are a huge partner with us. And I will say that I have seen more collaborative efforts among nonprofits in the last year than I have in previous years, because everybody's got less to work with, so they're wanting to
mine.
They're wanting to stretch their dollar and stretch their services, and I can say that they are really collaborating together to make sure that, you know, they can serve as many people as they can.
And we need to say a big shout out to our churches too. The churches do so much for our communities, and they even become stretched because they're struggling taking in the dollars to be able to do these things.
Yeah.
And now, of course, we're sending kids back to school, and you know, this is a tough time of the year for parents that are just barely making it week to week, month to month.
And I can tell you, school supplies are not cheap.
Yes.
I have two in school, and they're not cheap. And we do have a big Stuff the Bus school supply drive, and we're actually giving those supplies out Wednesday, starting at 10 a.m. at our office.
Okay.
And the students will actually, and we have 4 corporate sponsors: Fuji, Ascend, Covidian, and Greenwood County Community Foundation. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. And they actually gave funds to purchase book bags. And we had probably 15 companies do school supply drives for us. And our goal is to serve 1,000 children.
Wow.
Last year we did 650. But we have almost 1,000 book bags. And they will actually get the entire school supply list.
How about that, so, Denise? That's pretty awesome.
It is. It is. Thanks to our companies, all of our companies and our corporate sponsors for that.
Wow, that's terrific. Well, I understand that you're also doing a documentary is coming here August 26th on a Tuesday. What's going on with that?
August the 26th, Tuesday at the Greenwood County Library, 8:15. Come on and register and get some coffee. And then from 8...
Aroma Coffee.
Aromas Village Coffee. Aromas Village Coffee is our coffee sponsor. Thank you, Otta Velez, owner of Aromas. And she's also a United Way board member.
Right.
With Jonathan.
Yes.
So there's a documentary called When the Bow Breaks, and it focuses on child literacy in South Carolina. And we're actually condensing the documentary down a little bit, so we won't see it in its entirety, but about 15, 20 minutes of it, and then we'll have a few educational speakers, and you'll be out by 9:15.
That's right.
Short. But it's South Carolina Education Oversight, University of South Carolina, produced the documentary. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And so they gave this this video to all the United Ways and encouraging us to. It's just to create awareness about the importance of child literacy, because I can tell you, if you get a child early and you teach them how to read, it is going to impact their grade, their grades, their attendance in school, their graduation rate, and will keep them out of crime.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a highly acclaimed film. We've actually had some educators in our district who have actually gone to some conferences. I've heard from some other educators in some other districts, and you know, they've seen this film and they really speak highly of it. So I'm glad that it's making its way to Greenwood. I'm glad United Way is providing this film to us, and hopefully we'll have a good participation out there to actually see it.
That's going to be at the Greenwood County Library Tuesday, August 26th. Registration and coffee at 8:15. Comments and video 8:30 to 9:15. So you are going to be, it's so important. And, you know, we talk about K-4, we talk about all these different things, but I think parents can do so much to get kids on the right track early, early, early. So that's what we've seen. Now, Jonathan, how's the school year shaping up since you're the communications director there? How's school shaping
up? It's starting off good. We're actually going to have our opening of school program on August 15th, and that's where all our employees come back, and we're going to be at Emerald High School. Got a lot of surprises planned for this year, and, you know, just a lot of great things going on. We've got, you know, technology, which is taking, you know, a big focus in our district. That's going to be at the forefront this year. And then we've got some new teachers that are coming in. We're actually having our new teacher welcome on next Monday. Mm-hmm. And we're you know, inviting all the new teachers who are coming into our district to come there and learn a lot about the district. So, you know, it's just an exciting time of the year. The students are going to be in there in, you know, a couple of weeks. And the schools are going to be filled again. And, you know, the excitement's, you know, just going to be running wild with the kids and then, you know, the staff as well. So, I mean, it's just one of those times of the year that you really get excited about.
That's right. So school is starting. The Pacesetter program for United Way is kicked off. Jonathan's going to raise how much money here? Are you going to inspire people to give to United Way?
I believe the number I said was we raised 65% for Paysetters last year. So we need the goal. The overall goal is $1.25 million, which if somebody can write us a check today to get us to that amount, that would be awesome.
$750,000, $800,000.
Yeah.
No problem.
That's all. No problem. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to be looking for unique ideas. And I know you've got a lot of plans this year since it's a football theme, right?
We do. We have some incentives that we're going to be giving out to our Paysetters. And that's going to be actually at the celebration we're going to have on September 24th at Emerald High School. So we went to Greenwood High to kick it off, and we're going to close it out at Emerald in Viking Country. We're going to be at the new gymnasium, and that's going to be a great time too. We're going to have some great speakers at that one. Hopefully Coach Mack will come and give us some words to kind of close us out for the year. But you know, some of the incentives are going to be some, you know, local area high school football tickets, some Carolina Panthers preseason tickets, and then also some tailgating packages from some of our local restaurants. So we're looking to do it big this year, and I think we're off to a good start. Live United, win United.
You know, Jonathan, when I first met you, you were telling me how you wanted to go off and become a sports writer, I do believe it was, broadcast sports for the Panthers. Wasn't that right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
That's my favorite team.
Yeah. Well, what have you found being here in Greenwood and getting involved the way you did?
Wow. I mean, it's just, you know, it's great, you know, coming back home. I guess, you know, being at USC Upstate Spartanburg, in Spartanburg for 4 years, you know, having that dream, which, I still haven't lost the dream. I think, you know, a lot of times, no, I'm serious. I think a lot of times people think that, you know, you come back home and, you know, you're doing so much work that you kind of forget about where you want to go. But like I always tell people, I mean, I'm still young. I can still, you know, go out and, you know, still pursue that dream. Even if I don't get there, I think the moral or the goal for me is to use different things like this to, you know, build and, you know, use those as stepping stones to get to that next level, which hopefully might one day be working for the Carolina Panthers.
So. Well, all right. You heard it right here on WCRS right here in Greenwood. You know, Jonathan, I look forward to working with you during the football season, and I know you're going to do great.
Yes.
Denise, thanks for coming out and sharing
with
us. This is, okay, Grace, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.